So Jane, in our world today, you know, there's a lot of feelings and pressures and tensions and stresses that people are feeling. And something I know you talk into quite a lot with a lot of different people is the whole area of boundaries. Mm. Now, obviously that word is can be fairly loaded. There's a lot of connotation and baggage that can come with the idea of boundaries. But can you help unpack what actually boundaries are and maybe how they can help us in our world?
Yeah, great question. Boundaries are very simply a property line. They are not, they often can be construed as something that I do against people, but actually boundaries are for my personal internal structure. They're about me. And that sounds kind of selfish, but it's actually about my self-life and the relationship that I have with myself. So boundaries do two things. In the physical world, we can see them, and that's by fences and hedges and gates and things like that. But we also have an internal world as well, that the same thing applies. So we have a property that is inside us. It's our internal world. And just the same as a physical world, you can see the definition. We also need to have a definition inside ourselves, our internal structure. So boundaries do two jobs. The first one is that it defines my internal property. And the second thing it does is protects what's in there. Right. And so there's a lot of anxiety too in life because we can't actually define our property. We don't know what that is. People can come and go in and out of it, and we can sort of lose our sense of self.
Feels kind of insecure, right?
Absolutely. Unsafe almost, yeah. So it's I remember feeling very much like that myself, and it's the reason why I started investigating this material, because I couldn't really find a pathway for myself. I was a young mum,
right.
And I was feeling very very lost, really.
Sure.
And I
ask on that?
Yeah.
Were there things that triggered those feelings? Like you say, you're a young mum raising kids. Were there certain moments that highlighted, oh my gosh, there's something I need to deal with here?
Yeah. Yes, I think I felt very ill-equipped for marriage, motherhood, you name it.
Hey, hands up, ill-equipped. I feel unequipped for motherhood, fatherhood.
Very ill-equipped in life, and yet I, you know, grew up in a very loving household, but it wasn't very, I suppose it didn't give me a lot of internal structure inside myself. So I was very very broad, very wafty, very sort of didn't really know who I was very well. So when I had the pressures of marriage and children and all that sort of stuff, that did actually accentuate that
that ill-equipment,
the fact that I wasn't really that well-equipped.
Right.
And so I actually noticed I was starting to get a bit depressed. And so I pulled myself up by the shoestraps and said, that is not the trajectory that I want to go. So what would be, you know, just sort of thinking, what on earth do I do about myself, really? Because I was very miserable.
Yeah. Can I ask, when you say that, obviously that's a word that as well, you know, is very common and in our world today, in depression, anxiety, we hear these words all the time. For you, when you started to notice that, were there certain behaviours, certain ways of thinking that you noticed that go, you know what, there's something not right here?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I remember asking my friend, do I look weird to you? am I a bit weird here?
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, there's a flatness. Right. There's a sense of, I'm drained. I don't have any inspiration for the day. I really would like to go to bed, you know, but I have two children and a husband and home, and, you know, so that isn't happening. Mm. But there's a very deep sort of flatness and perhaps a sense of loss, you know.
Sure.
And so I did start investigating, and at that time, the boundaries material was being written. It's about 30-something years ago.
Wow.
And so I just love, I have really been grateful for the opportunity to grow, because when people have a need, we tend to be motivated to do something about that. So I was feeling that need, and I did not want to go down the pathway that I have seen other people do that, and other mums, and find themselves in a hole and have to find a way out.
And isn't it so true that sometimes it's not for lack of intent? Like people want they are experiencing maybe some of the things that you've experienced and the feelings you're feeling, and they want to grow. They want to get unstuck. They want to move forward in life and have that sense of definition and protection around their world. But they just don't have that framework, right? That boundary and that sense of pathway that they can move forward to get themselves out. Isn't it?
I think something that we don't do it emotionally. We don't get there by trying harder.
Right.
We actually get there by basically getting some information, some knowledge. I think that's what really helped me. I just needed some information about life, really, and about myself. And so the boundaries material is about my self life. So it's my identity and how I protect what is in there. The main thing that comes up is ownership.
Right.
Ownership of my own life, so that I am the carer of my own life. I'm responsible for this life.
Sure.
I have things in it that are precious, and
sure.
I own things. I own actually everything inside me, regardless of how it got there.
Yeah.
Which can sound an ouch kind of question.
So you're taking responsibility for the good
and the bad.
Right?
That's right. So what is ever loaded in my heart,
right.
I own it. It, regardless of how it came to be that way, which sounds a very caustic statement. And how do I take on board something that I actually wasn't
the perpetrator,
but it went into my heart. So when I own my own feelings, attitudes, behaviours, there's a little list of things I own: my feelings, my attitudes, behaviours, my choices, my talents, my loves, my limits, and things that is my personal treasures that I actually need to take care of and don't allow everything to come in and out of it. At will.
You were sharing a little bit earlier with me an image that you had of yourself.
Yes,
can you share that again?
Yeah, I was feeling quite out of control, and I think I felt quite low. I felt quite dark. Mm. And so I used to have this reoccurring image of walking down a dark alley. I could see still, but I realized it was a dark alley and all the rubbish bins are lined up, you know. Mm. And I've got wall to wall and I'm quite constrained. And up as ahead, when I'm looking to go to the future, I see this great big maroon-coloured roller door.
Right.
And it goes to the sky.
Right.
And I'm really stuck.
Yeah.
And I've got these walls around me and a roller door in front of me. And it's sort of, I remember seeing that in my head quite a few times, thinking, what is that? And I started to, realize I was very enclosed and very stuck. I had no path. And when I'm looking through that roller door, I'm thinking, how on earth am I ever going to get out of this? I do not want to spend the rest of my life behind this roller door.
Sure, sure.
So that was, that was my quirky little impression of that. But I found as I came to look at this material and ownership, particularly, I am the owner of my life and the owner has control and they bear the consequences or reap the benefits of the state or the condition of that life.
And was when you came to that point and you made that, you kind of crossed over that line of I'm going to take ownership and responsibility and own everything I'm thinking and feeling, was it all internal or were there some physical things you did to kind of help support that shift you made?
Yeah, I learnt.
Sure.
I got myself some videos.
Okay, good.
which were, back then, 30 years ago, I plugged them in and
VHS
I used to watch them every day just to learn.
Yeah.
And I found that when you're taking ownership of your life, you can find the good things and the not so good things. But I found I had a lot of resentment in my heart.
Sure.
And I realized, to carry around resentment for the rest of your life is behind a roller door. There is no future or liberty or sort of freedom in carrying around these heavy things in my heart. But when you come to take ownership of it, you can sort of purge it. You can disown it.
Sure.
You can forgive what's needed to be forgiven. You can reconcile and you can trust. By the way, they're not the same things. They're quite different things. And we tend to blur them together.
Yeah.
But there is a pathway. That's what I think was the thing that was exciting to me that there is a pathway.
Because you suddenly felt equipped, right?
Absolutely.
Like, oh, there's actually a roadmap I can follow. Yeah.
And I remember looking for that roller door every now and again. And every now and again, I'd sort of say, so where is that roller door, you know? Mm. And I would, no, I'm looking over there and I see a green hill.
Wow.
You know, so I don't see that roller door anymore.
Amazing.
So that was a pretty big shift for me.
It's huge. Mm. I'd love to know, once that started to happen and you were feeling that shift internally and your internal, what you were seeing was changing and going to green, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What was the things you were starting to experience externally? Did things change immediately? What was the fruit of those decisions?
Not that I remember, but I changed. And I think that is the point, because as I'm changing, I am viewing my world in a different way.
Sure.
And I'm removing resentment by choice,
right,
and recognizing that is something really, it's a very big one, resentment, I think, because it does cloud your soul, you know, it makes your soul really heavy. And to process those things properly,
right,
the boundaries material did help me do that.
It's amazing.
Very well.
I love that, because so often we blame our external world for some of the things we're feeling, and to say, no, actually it's the things within my power that I can change. And it's like that filter over your eyes, and suddenly you're seeing in a whole new light, and so it's amazing.
Yeah. I think I'm a life coach, and so I learned some things about that I already knew from the boundary material. But there's like a line, and down here is the person who lives in blame, excuse, and denial. Mm. And above the line is where ownership, accountability, and response ableness live.
Right.
So we really have to take that journey.
Yeah. I'm wondering, from your perspective, is there things in our world around our boundaries and the way we order our world that is particularly making us vulnerable to burnout, do you think?
Mm. Yeah, I think the ability to be separate and to also be one with another person is actually a boundaries concept, because it's foundational.
Right.
Where if I can't separate myself from my surroundings, or I'm blurring into everything and blurring into other people and blurring into the job, and I don't have a sense of my separateness, my identity, my self-world, my own feelings, my own attitudes, my own behaviours, and I'm not aware of myself and the freedom that I get from owning my own self and not blurring into everybody, I think that's a big thing.
Huge.
That in any situation, there is always that separateness and oneness that we hold together at the same time.
Right.
And that's the foundations of personality, way, way back in bonding and separateness. The little two-year-old who says, no, mummy and me were the same, but mummy and me are not the same, because they're learning to separate. So that we take that through the whole of our life.
That's amazing.
Mm.
So we would take that same concept that often, you know, we'll talk a little later about relationships and that can happen. But in the workplace, I find that fascinating that we can actually bond ourselves in an unhealthy way with our workplace,
absolutely,
with our colleagues, with our bosses, with our responsibilities, with our probably our job titles even. Do you think there's a reason why we're seeing that more and more, that people are doing that more and more over the years?
Yeah, I think boundaries are something that have been thought to be perhaps very rigid or something that constrains me, but actually they free me because I am in my personal world coming out into the world, but I don't lose me.
Mm.
And so when I lose me, I'm in trouble, really. And anxiety rises when I lose me because we are designed to be in control of ourselves. Mm. Like a self-controlled person is more likely to experience love things rather than fear things, because they actually don't cohabit. Fear and love do not cohabit. So I'm walking to the love zone, or I'm walking to the fear zone, and anxiety, as we know, lives over there.
Mm.
But burnout is an interesting topic, because burnout is not the same as tired.
Right.
Tired, you know, I can feel tired and I can perhaps overwork or the answer to that is get some rest or take a holiday or something. And it becomes rejuvenated when I do something about the quantity of my output.
Right.
But burnout is not about quantity. Burnout is about the quality of what's going on in my life. Mm. And so if the quality of what's going on is not good, I will start to experience a drain of emotional energy. And there are some things that are important to have in place. The first one is emotional connection with other people.
Right.
Isolated people internally. We can be around people but feel actually lonely.
Wow.
We have to be invested in with my heart into what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with.
Mm.
When that's absent, that is a big missing piece of the picture.
Mm.
The next thing is if I'm I've sort of had a bit of study on this, and the connection part, the part of aligning my gifts and talents to what I'm actually doing, being aware of my personal alignment to something.
So would I be right in saying that it's not just about working too hard?
No.
It's about sometimes approaching our work wrong in a way that isn't setting it up to be sustainable.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if we're working in a way that is isolated or not, it's a physical work or it's a work where we're doing the job, but there's no emotional or mental connection with our colleagues, or there's no sense of alignment with our makeup, our gifts, our personality, and that's going to maybe that could be a trigger for burnout as well. Is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely. And I think this idea that I would have a goal, you know, we need goals in life and we can be unconscious about them, but if we're not aspiring to something, if we're working in the workplace but we actually have no aspirations to arrive somewhere or to go somewhere, I'm just doing the motion. That's very draining. We're not designed for that. We're designed to have aspiration, to have vision about where we're going and what we're doing something for, and that there's personal purpose in what I'm doing. When all those things are absent, those things do drag down the nature of my work life, the quality of my work life.
So, if I was someone who's experiencing this and, in a job that I hate and feeling like I'm doing something that's totally not in my zone, and I'm not connecting with my colleagues, I'm starting to feel this sense of lack of purpose and burnout. And I was coming to you like, Jane, help me, please, help me. What would you say to me? What would be some practical steps I could take?
I think you would, it would be great to have a sense of knowing who I am, what I'm wired for, what are my talents and abilities and gifts, and am I placed in those things? If I'm not, we can't immediately change those things, but at least we've got some goal, we've got some purpose that I'm working toward on the side. That actually gives a lift anyway, because I'm going somewhere.
Right.
I'm not in a dead end behind a roller door.
So stocktake is
a great word. Take a stocktake of what am I actually, do I know? Am I a child in the sense that I don't know what I'm actually fitted for? What are my talents and gifts, and what are my desires and purpose in life, or things that I aspire to? If I don't have a sense of those things, that would be great to stocktake that. And that would be the first thing to kind of be an adult in that way, where I'm start to know who I am. And that's a difference between a child and adult. A child gets told what to do.
Right.
And if you've been sort of, oh, you should do this and you should do that and you should do this because you should, that's never enough motivation in life to really find your purpose. So an adult starts to know who they are.
Yeah.
So being adult really like that is a good help.
Yeah, it's really good. Because I think, coming back to your original point about, that unhealthy bonding with our work, and where we become one with something that we shouldn't be one with.
Yeah.
And I think what happens then, well, my observation is that becomes that definition and that becomes that identity, which can be really shaky, because if work, we have a bad day, it means if things are going wrong at work, if something's going wrong internally, or if the boss is, upset, then suddenly that affects us more than it should.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, really important. Is there ways that we can avoid it. So rather, obviously, if we're in it, we need to recover from it and maybe to do some of those steps to get out of it. Is there some things, some boundaries we can put in place to actually protect ourselves in the first place?
Yes, I think the whole aspect of ownership, that I'm owning my own feelings. People are not responsible for how I feel. Another person is not responsible for my behavior, though I may feel I'd like to blame them. Actually, it is my my place. It's what I own inside me. And to be honest about owning, it's a humbling thing. And that always humility is like quite a golden key to anything that you want to go forward in. It's a great thing to stock take and actually not be in denial about my condition.
I've noticed, well, I've just in my own context, I've noticed that it can be such a hard step to make, to actually just admit this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm facing, and get over that pride thing. Is there ways that people that can help people, you know, admit it to themselves without shame?
Yes, well, that's a great point. Shame is a pretty universal experience to humanity, but shame is actually a combination of some things where we feel, I think, to roll them off my tongue, love, acceptance, belonging and value. If one of those things is sort of affected, my sense of being loved or the ability to love, do I feel accepted in life? Am I accepting of other people? Do I feel like I belong, you know, in my family unit, or I have people that I am related to, and I have a deep abiding connection to people? The loss of connection would be one of the biggest things that set people at sea in any facet of life. If you don't have abiding connections in life, you will be an isolated person. Is a an isolated self feels like a bad self, and it
starts to
it draws shame.
Yeah,
so not having deep connections with people does cause us to go that direction. And my sense of value, you know, is that tied up in my work? Is it tied up in other things when I actually am valuable? Because I am.
Before
I exist. Therefore, I'm not an invisible person.
Yes.
And I think I did feel invisible quite strongly when I was young. But is that on track? Having abiding connections and being aligned to what I know about myself.
I think it's such an important topic, because I think what it's showing is that you know, that we bring our full selves to our work. And if we are not full and we don't feel that security, then we draw from it and we try to attach to our work to fill that void. And that's what leads to that sense of flatness and burnout. So having a healthy self beyond work and then bringing that into work. So it's not about not throwing yourself into work. It's about throwing your healthy self into work. And that actually is sustainable.
Yeah, great concept, a healthy self.
Interestingly,
a healthy self begets more health. So we bring a healthy self to a system, really. A workplace is a system, a family is a system. If we bring a healthy self, we beget health. We become a reference point for what health looks like
really
to other people. So we're not only doing it for ourselves, we're also doing it for our environment.
Amazing. Well, Jane, once again, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mitch.